Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring human-AI collaboration and the future workplace. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
And honestly, I am so glad we are getting right into this today. Because, well, it's easy to get caught up in the panic, right?
Oh, absolutely. The whole, AI is taking our jobs narrative.
Exactly. But we're really moving past that initial fear now. I mean, we're stepping into this incredibly empowering reality where the future workplace isn't about AI replacing you. It's about a dynamic, integrated collaboration.
Right. It's partnership.
Yes. Between human workers and AI systems.
Yeah.
But adapting to that requires a pretty fundamental shift in how you understand your own value in a digital environment.
Let's break down that shift, actually, because a lot of early conversations relied on this cliche of AI as like the world's most eager intern.
Right. The super intern.
Yeah, exactly. Just hand it a task and it will run off and do it at lightning speed.
Right.
But that analogy, I don't know, it always falls short for me.
Why is that?
Well, because it implies that the AI understands the purpose behind the work, right? Like it has context. A much better way to look at it, I think, might be comparing AI to a highly advanced navigational GPS.
Oh, I like that. The GPS analogy works so much better mechanically.
Yeah.
Because think about how a GPS operates. It calculates the absolute fastest route by crunching, millions of data points simultaneously.
Right. Current traffic speeds, road closures, all that.
Exactly. Historical travel times. It does this massive mathematical heavy lifting that a human brain simply cannot do in real time.
Sure, but the GPS has zero context for why you were taking the trip in the first place.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't know that you need to take a slightly longer scenic route to clear your head before a big meeting. It certainly doesn't know that a particular intersection floods every time it rains, even if the map says it's technically a clear road.
And that is exactly where human AI collaboration actually happens.
Setting the destination.
Yes. The AI optimizes the execution based on vast historical data sets. But you, the human, you provide the context, the intent, the real-time situational awareness.
So it's about navigating the real world.
Precisely. Understanding that dynamic, that you are handling the real-world obstacles while the AI plots the raw coordinates, that is what separates workers who will thrive from those who will just feel obsolete.
Which brings up a really critical tension, I think, because we use the word augmentation to describe this dynamic, right?
Yes, augmentation. The idea that AI enhances our work rather than replacing it entirely.
Right, but if the AI is constantly plotting the coordinates and doing the heavy lifting, don't we eventually just get lazy? Like, don't we lose our edge?
Well, that is a huge concern.
Because if I'm a young lawyer, for example, and I use an AI to summarize a 500-page brief instead of reading it myself, I mean, I might save a ton of time, but don't I lose that subconscious pattern recognition that comes from grinding through the drudgery?
Yeah, you do.
Doesn't the drudgery actually build the expertise?
It is a very real risk. It's often called de-skilling.
Mm.
If you use AI simply to bypass the learning process, you will absolutely lose your edge.
Right. You just become dependent on it.
Exactly. But that is a misunderstanding of what true augmentation is. Augmentation shouldn't mean skipping the foundational understanding. It means shifting your cognitive load.
Shifting the load. Okay. How so?
Well, if the AI summarizes that 500-page brief, your job isn't to just accept the summary and take a nap.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It does.
Yeah.
But no. Your job is to use the time you saved to analyze the strategic weaknesses in the opposing counsel's argument, or to cross-reference the AI's findings with subtle contextual clues you picked up from, a client conversation.
So it's not about working less. It's about reallocating your brain power.
Right.
You are moving your effort away from the execution of mundane tasks and redirecting it towards synthesis and strategy.
Exactly. You are flattening the execution curve so you can steepen the value curve. I mean, you really have to rethink your personal productivity.
Because you aren't bogged down by the mechanics of the task anymore.
Right. So you are forced to step up and deliver higher level impact.
I want to look at how a professional actually orchestrates this practically, because it reminds me of the shift from hand weaving to the mechanical loom.
Oh, that's a great historical parallel.
Right. The loom does the repetitive cross-stitching at this incredible speed, something humans used to spend thousands of hours doing manually. But the human still have to set the pattern, choose the quality of the thread, and decide what garment is actually going to be made.
Yes. The transition from manual labor to machine-assisted labor always requires new strategies. And for digital workflows, we can break this down into four explicit tactics.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, explicitly delegate the repetitive tasks. Let the AI do the digital cross-stitching, as you said, sorting the data, formatting the documents, generating the baseline code.
The tedious stuff.
Yeah.
Got it. And the second?
Second, strictly reserve your human effort for creativity, empathy, and judgment.
Okay.
Third, and this one is absolutely non-negotiable, verify the AI-generated outputs meticulously.
Verify, verify, verify.
Always. And fourth, synthesize the two. Combine human insight with AI efficiency to create something neither could build alone.
I really want to dig into that third tactic, verifying the output. Because if we are asking people to use this technology constantly, we need to explain why it fails.
Yeah, that's crucial.
People hear the term AI hallucination, but it often just gets thrown around as a buzzword. Why does an incredibly powerful AI suddenly invent a completely fake legal precedent or confidently state the wrong revenue numbers for a company?
To understand why it hallucinates, you have to understand the underlying mechanism of large language models.
Okay.
When you ask an AI a question, it is not going into a giant database of verified facts, retrieving the true answer, and handing it to you.
Right, really? Because it definitely feels like it's looking things up.
I know it feels that way, but it's not. It is operating as a highly sophisticated predictive text engine. It is calculating the mathematical probability of what word should come next based on the billions of text documents it was trained on.
So, it's playing the world's most advanced game of autocomplete.
That is exactly what it's doing. Because it is predicting patterns rather than retrieving facts, it can generate a sentence that sounds grammatically perfect, highly confident, and structurally logical.
But is factually entirely false.
Precisely. It mathematically looks like a real legal precedent, so the AI just generates it.
Wow. Okay, that makes sense.
This is why verification isn't just a best practice. It is a mechanical necessity. The tool does not possess an internal compass for truth. It only has a compass for probability.
Okay, so let's see how this actually plays out in the wild. If we apply these four strategies, delegation, judgment, verification, and synthesis, how does a team function without losing its identity?
Let's use an example. Take a modern marketing team planning a massive campaign.
Okay, a marketing team.
In a traditional setup, that marketing team would spend weeks grinding through spreadsheets, running surveys, and looking at past performance metrics.
Yeah, all the data entry.
Right. And by the time they actually sit down to brainstorm the creative angle of the campaign, their cognitive energy is largely depleted by the data processing.
I can totally see that. But wait, if every marketing team uses the exact same AI models trained on the exact same internet data to generate their analytics, doesn't the output just become completely generic?
Again, yeah.
Don't we just end up with an internet full of average ideas?
That is the trap of over-reliance. And it is exactly what happens if you let the AI do the creative thinking. But in a successful collaboration, the workflow flips.
How so?
The team feeds raw customer data into the AI. The AI handles the sentiment analysis at scale. It groups millions of customer reviews into mathematical vectors and identifies a hidden pattern.
Okay, what kind of pattern?
For example, it finds that customers love the product's durability, but they feel incredibly frustrated by the packaging.
So the AI found the cluster of data. It identified the pattern.
Yes, but the AI doesn't know what it feels like to be frustrated by a plastic blister pack.
Oh, I hate those things.
Right. But the AI doesn't have empathy. It just hands the marketing team a structural finding. The humans look at that data cluster and use their empathy to say, wait, we can build an entire comedic ad campaign around the universal rage of trying to open hard plastic with scissors?
That is brilliant. So the AI provided the springboard, but the humans provided the emotional resonance.
Exactly. That is a synthesis.
The data didn't replace the creative spark. It gave the creative spark a highly targeted direction.
Yes, perfectly said.
But this brings up an interesting pushback, I think. If the AI is crunching the data and you are acting as the strategic director, what happens when something goes wrong?
The accountability question.
Right. Because if my GPS tells me to drive into a lake and I do it, the insurance company doesn't care that the satellite made an error.
No, they hold you accountable because you were behind the wheel. And this bridges us directly into the concept of responsible oversight.
Right.
As these tools become more embedded in our daily lives, there is a very dangerous psychological phenomenon we have to watch out for. It's known as automation bias.
Automation bias, meaning if a machine is right 99 times in a row, human nature kicks in on the 100th time, and we just assume it's right again without checking.
Precisely. We naturally defer to the machine's confidence. But as we discussed with hallucinations, AI has a brittle edge. When it fails, it doesn't usually fail with a warning sign. It fails with total unearned confidence.
Because it's just predicting the next word confidently.
Exactly. You cannot outsource your professional or ethical responsibility to an algorithm. If you use an AI to draft a report for your boss and it hallucinates a set of financial figures, you cannot use the defense that the AI made a mistake.
Because it's your name on the final deliverable. You aren't just a creator of content anymore. In many ways, you are shifting into a role of an editor and a curator, which means your primary value is your critical thinking.
It is a massive professional shift.
Yeah.
Your judgment becomes your most valuable commodity.
So you have to be vigilant.
You do. You have to constantly ask yourself, is this information accurate? Is it biased based on the training data? Is the tone appropriate for the context? The AI will not flag those ethical or contextual nuances for you. You are the ultimate safeguard.
So knowing all this, knowing the mechanisms, the risks of de-skilling, the automation bias, how do you, as the listener, actively practice this right now? It's one thing to conceptualize this theoretically, but how do you build the muscle memory?
The best way to build confidence is to run deliberate experiments in your current workflow long before the stakes are high. You need to develop a digital intuition for where these tools excel and where they break down.
I love that. Let's do a thought experiment right now. I want you to picture the specific profession you are aiming for or the role you are currently in.
Right, whatever that might be.
Yeah, maybe you're an aspiring project manager, a graphic designer, an accountant, or a software engineer. Picture your daily workflow. Now, physically divide those tasks in your mind. Which specific actions are purely repetitive execution?
Things like the drafting of standard emails.
Right, the sorting of code bugs, the formatting of monthly reports. That is your AI support bucket.
And then, crucially, define the human bucket. What are the tasks where your judgment is absolutely irreplaceable?
The relationship building with a difficult client, for example.
Yes. Or the ethical call on a gray area accounting standard. The sudden creative leap that breaks industry conventions.
If you can visualize your role through that specific lens, you are already miles ahead of the curve. You don't have to wait to start practicing this. There are practical tools available right now. I mean, we're talking about ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, Notion AI. But you have to use them deliberately.
You really do. And you need to understand how they differ mechanically to use them well.
Give me an example of how they differ.
Well, ChatGPT operates as a conversational interface. It requires you to be highly skilled at prompt engineering to give it context.
Okay, what about Copilot?
Microsoft Copilot, on the other hand, sits directly inside your existing ecosystem, your documents, your spreadsheets. So it already has some contextual awareness of your workspace.
Oh, that makes sense. And Notion AI.
Notion AI is really designed to organize and synthesize knowledge you've already captured.
So the key is not to just use them as a parlor trick to write a funny poem, you know? Use them to test the boundaries.
Exactly. Intentionally give the AI a highly complex, nuanced prompt regarding a subject you are an expert in.
See where it hallucinates. See what it gets wrong. By watching it fail, you learn exactly where you need to apply your human oversight.
Yes, you're learning how to manage your digital systems before you are entirely dependent on them. It is about becoming fluent in collaboration.
So, stepping back from the specific software platforms and the daily habits, what does this all mean for us fundamentally? Because when we asked how humans and AI can work together effectively in future workplaces, the answer actually feels incredibly empowering.
It really is.
Because for a long time, the narrative was that human error, human emotion, and human unpredictability were flaws that technology needed to iron out.
Oh, totally. We viewed efficiency as the ultimate goal, and humans are notoriously inefficient.
Exactly. But now that we have machines that can handle the raw efficiency and the predictable logic, the paradigm has flipped entirely.
Yes.
Our human quirks, you know, our empathy, our moral compass, our irrational creative leaps that make absolutely no mathematical sense, those are no longer weaknesses in a digital world. They're the only things that differentiate us. They are our greatest assets.
That is a profound realization to walk away with. AI can augment our capabilities. It can process the data and draft the code.
Mm-hmm.
But human oversight remains the anchor. The collaboration between the two improves innovation, precisely because it separates the mechanics of a task from the meaning of a task.
The machine handles the mechanics.
Yes, and you provide the meaning. Your uniquely human skills are becoming more valuable, not less.
We started out talking about the fear of replacement, and we've ended up realizing that this technology actually elevates the very things that make us human. It forces us to stop acting like machines ourselves.
It is a critical perspective shift, and it is absolutely essential for anyone who wants to lead in a digitally enabled future.
All right, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a clear path forward. Your future skills are entirely in your hands. I encourage you to stay curious about these tools, stay strictly responsible in how you use them, and stay focused on being future ready.
Yes, absolutely.
To truly cement what we've talked about today, I want to strongly encourage you to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities. Putting these concepts into practice is where the real learning happens.
And if you are looking to explore the mechanics and the philosophy of this transition even further, the lesson provides some excellent deeper resources. We highly recommend checking out the reference materials, specifically the books, Co-Intelligence, Human Compatible, and Prediction Machines. They provide incredible insight into how this technology is reshaping our systems.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us, and keep building those future skills. But before you go, I want you to mull over one final thought based on everything we've discussed today. If AI continues to master all the routine, predictable tasks of our daily jobs, and we are left solely with high-level strategy and creativity, what entirely new, unimagined human skills might we need to invent just to keep up with our own potential? Think about it. See you next time.